broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our 2 of 2, and our goal, steady as a rock, remains the same, that is, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. All right, we got our guest Patrick Simmons on the line, righttowork.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be back.
You know what? I was kind of disappointed in the Donald last debate. I don't think he did that well, number one. Number two, he didn't even bring up right to work. He should have. However, it was fascinating. Right after the debate, I got an email from Donald promoting right to work. So even though he missed it in the debate, hopefully the next one he'll get it right.
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, there was a real opening there. I guess a day or two before that debate, this video had come out of Hillary talking to a union boss gathering. It was kind of over like a satellite feed. And they had this video of her staring into the camera. And she says, you know, right to work is wrong for America, and I will do everything I can to fight right to work. Then immediately after, she goes, why aren't I up 50 points in the polls? And it was a pretty interesting moment. It would have been something that Trump might have done well to have brought up the fact that, maybe because 80% of Americans support right to work, Hillary, including a majority of Democrats, independents, Republicans, I mean, just about any demographic group you can come up with.
And they do for a clear reason, though. Look, this isn't partisan.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, that poll, 64% of Democrats support right to work. I mean, this is not exactly, it's not partisan at all. It's about the basic fundamental freedom. There's nothing anti-union about right to work. It simply says workers who want to join can join. Workers who want to pay dues can pay dues, but they can't be forced. That's the key. It's coercion. It's the government coercion of forced unionism states versus the free choice for workers of right-to-work states.
Now, are the unions primarily backing Hillary at this point?
Overwhelmingly so. I mean, there have been a couple unions that I've seen have announced, but by and large, yes.
Now, I don't understand it, because whether we agree about the right to work or not, in other words, the forced union versus the freedom to choose idea, we're not rejecting unions. Neither is Donald. Donald's worked with unions for literally decades. You have to if you're in New York City. However, the reason I bring this up is, why would they be backing Hillary over Donald when Donald's going to bring jobs back and Hillary's going to leave the jobs overseas and literally accelerate it? Why would they ever be backing Hillary? And the only reason I can think is because they have a special deal inside government with Barack Hillary, right?
Yeah, well, we've seen that under the Barack Obama administration. We've seen 8 years of executive branch power grabs. Union officials, it's very important to make the distinction between the officials, the hierarchy, the ones in Washington, D.C. throwing political money around, and then the rank and file. Because the rank and file, when you look at poll numbers, you find that actually a majority of them, even the majority of the ones who say they're likely to vote, aren't going to vote for Hillary. Between Donald and some of the third-party candidates, they actually, I think we saw a poll that when you look at the crosstabs, 51% of them said a candidate other than Hillary was going to be their choice or who they plan to vote for. And then, of course, a significant percentage of them don't vote at all. So it's really a minority of union members even that support Hillary, but nearly every single union boss does. And it's because so much of their power now is derived not from the voluntary support of those members, but from the government coercion. So they're more dependent on government to force all these people, to continue to force them to pay them dues, than they are worried that people are just going to voluntarily not support them anymore because they don't like the way their money's being spent on politics and candidates that they don't necessarily support.
Now, here's what I find fascinating. When I talk to a lot of people, they're very pro-unions, partly because their family working class members were in unions, or they tried to make it on their own and couldn't, so they joined a union and they got great perks and great wages and everything. And from the ground, the day-to-day, they're like, you know what, my chapter's great. We have barbecues on the weekends. We share tickets to go to ball games. I mean, it's great. We do a great job. And what I find when I dig into that is, you know what, at the local level, there's a lot of good, honest, well-meaning people that do have some real unity, some real work-together ethic, and they believe that they're actually taking their right to work and doing well with it. What they don't understand is the leaders in the unions. What they don't understand is they don't have the right to work unless it's through the union. And so they make it look very good and feel very good on the ground for the average, I don't know if you say blue-collar, redneck, white trash American. That's what Hillary would want them to believe. They're deplorables if they want right to work. But that's what most Americans want. That's what they think they have. But they really don't, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. I mean, one of the things that people do not realize, or a lot of union members don't realize, certainly Americans at large don't realize, is that their union dues, you know, a lot of what the unions will do is they'll come and say, hey, here's your dues. And then, oh, we also have our political action committee. And you can donate money to the political action committee for politics if you want or not. And sometimes it'll be a little more pressure than that. But sometimes they really make a point saying that money's voluntary. Here are your dues. What they don't tell those workers is that a significant percentage of those regular dues, separate from the PAC contribution and that type of thing, is spent on politics and lobbying.
And what they also don't tell you is their record. Most of the time, you know, everybody believes their politician's a good guy because, hey, man, it's from their state. It's like the home team, you know, baby. But what they don't really realize is if you put the record in front of them, they freak, right?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we've seen, I think last election cycle, $1.7 billion from dues money being spent by these elected officials, or being spent by politics on by union officials on politics and lobbying. And so people don't realize that. They kind of think about, like you said, the barbecue, the the annual outing to the
camaraderie between their friends. You know, hey, it's like if you know somebody in a union or something like that, you've got friends in the business, you've got association and support. It's almost like replacing the family for many people, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think also, you know, I mean, unions, they take credit for a lot of things that, frankly, they're not responsible for. I mean, there's great camaraderie in many workplaces that don't have unions. A lot of them have, a softball team. A lot of people hang out on the weekends. A lot of people become good friends with their coworkers. Maybe if they're in a unionized workplace, the union's taking credit for that, but that doesn't mean the union did that, and we know that, you know, when it comes to things like raises even. The union will take credit for every single raise, but you know, that's really the productivity of the workers that is usually the cause of that raise. And so, the union will take credit for basically everything, even if there's zero evidence that they're responsible for any of it.
So it's clear Donald supports the right to work, because I got an email that was very solid on the point right after the debate. How do we get him to take this prime time? It almost seems like to him it's kind of back burner discussion. But I really think this is one of the great keys that could help Americans understand. Listen, you know what? Unions are fine. The opportunity to join a group to advocate for your well-being and your workplace benefit, great idea. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the genius of America. It's called free association. The problem with the current unions of today is that they're in bed with government. The problem with the unions today is that the leadership betrays the rank and file. And the problem is that they're literally taking money and promoting and advocating for things that the rank and file, if they read the record, would absolutely melt down and go ballistic over if they knew the truth. That's the real story.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, he's got the big microphone. You know, if he were to bring it up, I think it would be an overwhelmingly positive move for him. The kind of pundit consensus or whatever is that his target, that the people he needs to swing over to his side or to keep on his side are, like you said, sort of the blue collar people. A lot of people, you know, the Reagan Democrats, they're sort of been identified. And a lot of those people are would be perfect for that message. The message that, you know, if you like your union, you can keep your union. And unlike, you know, Barack Obama, when he used a similar phrase, I actually mean that. And by that, I mean I'm for right to work. Right to work means anyone who wants to join a union can join, but no one should be forced. As opposed to Hillary, who says, if you don't pay money to a union that you don't support, you can be fired. That's what she says. And I say, you get to keep your job whether you want to join the union or not. It would be a great message. It'd be super, extremely popular. I think it would help him. You know, hopefully we can get him out there saying it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Simmons with us. Quick pause. We're going to come back and talk about what's actually happening on the ground for righttowork.org and you and me and everybody who stands for our freedom to choose as we will in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. So, Patrick, I got an email. Headline says, this election is just like Brexit. The political class is dismissing Donald Trump and ignoring the people. The establishment will be in for a huge shock on election day. That's this guy named Nigel Farage, who's one of the leaders of Brexit, etc. The reason I bring this up is it almost reminds me of if the American people understood the forced unions, the forced dues, the abusive, hostile, violent tactics used. It would be a Brexit on the unions. The Brexit really almost backs into the same discussion because as long as we're part of these gargantuan trade agreements, as long as we accept the unions as the status quo, we'll never get a handle on restoring jobs.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I definitely think there's a massive sort of anti-elite sentiment that Donald Trump is tapping into here. And, you know, people are tired. And I think whether it's, you know, President Obama or their union bosses in Washington, D.C., they're kind of tired of being told, you know, here's how you have to, what you have to like, and here's what you have to support, and here's what's best for you, instead of letting people decide for themselves. And so, you know, that's going on. That's, I think, a major theme of this election. And, you know, getting back to what we were talking about before, that's something that can be tapped into by talking about right to work as a way of kind of bucking the elite and saying, you know, look, let's let the workers decide. You know, just because someone, you know, works for a living, you know, that doesn't mean they don't know what's best for them. They ought to be able to choose for themselves and decide how best to support their family and achieve the things that they want to achieve.
All right, what's going on while we're having the debates, while we're talking about the presidential elections? The whole nation seems to be just derailed by so many disruptive news pieces. What's happening behind the scenes that we ought to know about?
Well, you know, since it's been a month since we spoke last, you know, one thing that's happened here at National Right to Work, and it's a little bit of sad news, is that Reed Larson, who was the longtime head of the National Right to Work Committee and the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, passed away. He lived a long and wonderful life. About a week, he passed away about a week short of his 94th birthday. So I think many of us should be so lucky. But he, after passing a Kansas Right to Work law in the mid-50s, came to Washington, D.C., and was the head of the National Right to Work Committee from 1959 until 2003. He also founded the National Right to Work Foundation in 1968, and he was a very great man. I got to know him a little bit, even though he had stepped down as president by the time he came here, but he still had a leadership role with the Board of Trustees, and just a wonderful leader, someone who really focused on being opposed to coercion and defending worker choice. And, you know, without him, I don't think we would have any right to work law today. And I really mean that because in the 60s, big labor tried to repeal basically the portion of labor law that let states pass right to work laws. And he was able to talk to Senator Everett Dirksen at the time, who led a filibuster, and eventually that was stopped. And that sort of has set the stage for the fact that we now have 26 right-to-work laws and right-to-work laws in a majority of the states. So it's a little bit of a downer, I know, but I just kind of wanted to let everyone know that it's been a few weeks since he passed away, and it's worth noting that someone who was so key to defending and preserving American liberty has kind of moved on.
Our prayers are with his family.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
All right. Excellent. What else is happening? Anything else, though? It seems like Brock's trying to go for broke before he gets kicked out, huh?
Yeah, well, we're seeing a lot of action at the NLRB, a lot of things coming down. In terms of recent activities that the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation has taken, one of them is we just appealed a decision. This is in federal court in Illinois. And I know over the years we've talked a lot about the Harris v. Quinn case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Pam Harris, a mother taking care of her disabled son in her own home, and Governor Blagojevich, who was then a governor of the state of Illinois, now is a resident of their penal system, he had set up and issued an executive order saying these people are actually state employees for purposes of unionization. And basically all that was meant is the union, the SEIU, was going to get to go in and force them to pay dues. And they weren't really state employees for any other reason except to be forced to pay dues. We took that to the U.S. Supreme Court. We won 5-4. And then we went back and we said, now, these people had over $30 million, $32 million taken from 80,000 care providers who were not members, who never signed a union membership card. they need to get their money back. And so we're fighting for that. We had a decision against them. An Obama judge made a very wrong sort of political ruling. Say, well, you don't know at the time. Maybe they wanted to have their money taken in violation of their First Amendment rights. How do you know?
It's just crazy talk. I mean, just nuts.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, according to him, they would literally need a time machine to prove that they didn't want their constitutional rights violated. Because even saying so now wouldn't qualify. They needed to have said so at the time when the money was automatically being taken out of their paychecks by the state of Illinois. And so, I mean, obviously, that's on appeal.
Because naturally, most people do want their rights violated. That's just a standard idea, right?
Right, and that's the whole idea of, you know, a lawsuit, like a class action lawsuit. And if people want their money to go to the union, they could send the check to the union. They could opt out of the group and say, I don't want my money back. They can keep it. The SEIU can keep it. But of course, you know, this is about politics. The SEIU basically got that money by endorsing Blagojevich, and then almost immediately after he was elected, that he turned around and handed him this huge pot of money that we now know to be $32 million. You know, who knows where that's all gone now? I'm sure much of it has gone to union politics. But so yeah, we're fighting to get that back, and it's an example of these things don't end. We won that Supreme Court case in 2014, we established an important precedent, and this was going on in over a dozen states across the country, similar schemes, and those have all been shut down. But in terms of actually getting their money back, union bosses don't give that up so easily. And so,
in other words, it's one thing to win. It's another thing to have justice.
That's right. You know, it's one thing to have the Supreme Court say, yes, this is a violation of the First Amendment. You know, this money, you cannot force these people to pay money to a union to take care of their own child in their own home. Of course, that's a violation. That's going too far. And the Supreme Court said that very clearly. And yet, all the money that was taken in violation of their First Amendment rights has yet to be returned. And so it's a fight we continue to take.
And that's where, again, the judges are in bed with the unions. They admit to something because the whole case law depends on how they rule there. What they're trying to do, though, is make sure that, you know what, we'll stop the beating, but we won't take care of you and we won't make right what was wronged. And you'll have to go after that on a separate issue. They're making it definitely difficult.
Well, yeah, there's no question, and this is, unfortunately, I think we're seeing an increasingly politicized court system, and Barack Obama nominees to the federal courts have served a major part of that, where, you just can't be sure that a case that should be an obvious ruling, that they're not going to basically carve out some special union exemption. And we've seen that far too often when it comes to the First Amendment, and now we're seeing it when it comes to getting back money that has been illegally taken.
Well, I think we need to get you guys to sit down with Donald Trump, and right to work needs to be a key part of the next debate. That'll be a huge win to bring over, in my opinion, traditional Democrats and people who care about the rule of law, blue-collar people who work hard and deserve representation. If you can sit down with Trump and get that done, that'll be phenomenal. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
There he goes. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Like many other self-appointed eco-tutors to the earth-defiling masses, Chelsea Clinton apparently believes that her lifestyle of opulence and luxury somehow leaves no carbon footprint, or, perhaps, that her own pollution is more benign than that generated by lesser people. Following a recent campaign visit to Greenville, North Carolina, Chelsea Clinton attended a clean energy roundtable in Asheville, which is a five-hour drive away. Instead of choosing a more inconvenient but less extravagant mode of travel, perhaps using a hybrid automobile, Clinton made the trip by way of a pollution-spewing private jet, reports the Washington Free Beacon. The Clintons are not the only liberals who have left carbon footprints while lecturing others about how to travel without leaving their own, observes the Beacon. former Maryland Democratic Governor Martin O'Malley and liberal billionaire environmentalist Tom Steyer were seen leaving a green energy conference in 2014 in a Chevrolet Suburban, one of the least environmentally friendly vehicles on the market. Steyer has donated millions to various environmental groups and Democratic campaigns. Oscar-winning actor and eco-fundamentalist Leonardo DiCaprio is also notorious for hiring fleets of private jets to ferry politicians and celebrities to environmental conferences in distant exotic locations. Apparently, politically enlightened celebrities are endowed with carbon privilege. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. We had two incredible guests today already. Mr. James Woolsey, former CIA director for Clinton, now an endorser of Donald Trump, saying Clinton just, he fears for her national security plans, thinks Donald can learn and will do a great job. Clear endorsing of Donald Trump. That's good news. We also had on our guest, Mr. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, doing a great job. You know what? Our suggestion for the Donald in the next debate is to promote right to work. By the way, Kurt, speaking of right to work, or speaking of the suggestions for debates, I wrote an article, Kurt. Did you get that article about the 22 suggestions for Donald Trump for the next debate that I wrote, Kurt?
I did see that, Sam. It's got a lot of info there, huh?
Well, whenever it's Sam Bushman, there's lots of info, buddy. It's like turn on the fire hose. Come on.
Good point.
Isn't that how it is when I'm rocking?
Well, 22 debate suggestions. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Open letter, so. 22 debate suggestions for the Donald.
Yep.
And I thought we'd go through those. And the only reason why we're doing it now is just because he needs time to assimilate them. I sent them, by the way, to a bunch of places. We sent them to Drudge Report. We sent them to WorldNet Daily. We sent them to the Daily Caller. We sent them to Politico. We sent them to the New York Times. We sent them directly to Donald's campaign. We sent them directly to several Donald surrogates. I'm just not sure if he's got it. You know what I mean, Kurt?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Now, this is in response, by the way, to Donald kind of asking what we think or what we want, Kurt.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny. Someone says to me, Donald really asked you what, you know. Well, it was in there was news articles about it saying Donald's soliciting suggestions for the debate. And I get these emails from these. They're like Trump third-party surrogates. And what they say is, hey, we want you to take this debate survey. But it all says at the bottom, you know, thanks, Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so even though I know that it's a third party, I know that it's not directly sent to Sam Bushman, because it says Donald on it, because it's literally sent to me, because I know that Donald's soliciting debate, you know, information, I just took the time to say Donald wrote me and asked me And I'm going to give my answer. And I know people think that's kind of funny, but I feel like it's legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay,
imagine
because
that, he asked you for your input and you give it.
Well, what some would say that he didn't really ask me, Kurt.
Well, yeah, but that's what it said. It said signed Donald Trump. I mean, if it's not, let's call a fraud a fraud.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Is that, look, either it's legitimate or it's not. If it's not, then Donald needs to sue and stop them. And if it's legitimate, either way, I thought my suggestions would be great to talk about. 22 debate set suggestions for Donald Trump, Kurt. Now, it says it's from Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live. I give my phone number and anything else. Now, number one, overall focus on law and order. And that's like crazy advice, don't you think, Kurt? It's like starts out as whacked out as you can get.
Yep, I agree. You know, that's definitely over the top. You know, yeah.
Number two, when you get rigged questions, because we all know last debate it was rigged. Hillary was literally in bed with the moderator on the questions, and they were drilling Donald. It was clear they were rigged questions because Hillary didn't get asked the same questions and certainly not the same follow-up questions. So my advice is, one, focus on law and order. Number two, when you get rigged questions, call them clown questions. Say, that's a clown question. Simply sidestep rigged bogus questions and clearly state that you will not engage in the blame game and you will not speak ill of your opponent in negative terms. I think that's one of the best advices. Look, don't attack Hillary. Just stick with policy. Her policy will sink her candidacy.
Yep.
It's clear. You don't need to attack her. I mean, I think you might want to call her the Queen Bimbo Eruption. You call her Queen Bee for short. You might do that because it's true. Whenever I try to talk policy, the Queen Bimbo attacks me on something goofy. I don't care about calling girls fat. I don't care about any of those things. I'm going to stick with policy. So my number three, do not interrupt Hillary. It's not because I have so much respect for her, but it's just not going to do you any favors. The feminist women just think you're just abusive if you interrupt her, right? She can interrupt you, but you can't interrupt her. Got it?
Yep, good point.
Number four, never directly speak to Hillary and never use her former titles. She doesn't deserve a direct response. Instead, say my opponent or Clinton as if she's not even present. That's not meant to be rude, Kurt, but what I'm saying is when you start to say secretary this, former first lady that, you give her this credibility or this credence that she doesn't deserve.
Amen.
And when you talk directly to her, what you're doing is you're just letting a sideshow start to take shape, because once she says something, you've got to respond to it. Once you respond to it, you're off and running on a sideshow. So I don't say that to be mean or demeaning to Hillary, but I say that because you've got to stick to your policies. And the second you engage with her directly, you will get sideshow antics like we saw in the last debate. Number five, only speak directly to her when politely complimenting her from time to time. So when she says, hey, we want to support the rule of law, we want to bring back jobs to the middle class, say, you know what, I compliment you, Hillary. I'm glad that you see that jobs are so critical, and I'm glad you've jumped aboard on one of my campaign ideas. Hillary, good for you.
Yeah.
You know what, Hillary? You look really pretty when you tell people that law and order matters. I'm the law and order candidate, and I mean, I love it when all kinds of people say law and order matters, even Hillary. Mm-hmm. You know, say those kinds of things that literally direct back to policy, and literally focus on things. She focused on the middle class. He focused on jobs. They're really the same thing. It was her mocking way of trying to support his initiatives. He needs to credit that to her in a very polite way. Number six, refer to Clinton's husband as Billy, not the past president. No official titles, if you will. Kurt, this one's designed because what she wants to do is get credibility on the fact that her husband was a former president. But this guy's a literal criminal pervert. And don't go on the criminal pervert attack stuff too much. But again, don't give the credence of titles. Because what happens is she said Donald all night. And he said, you know, former secretary and all this stuff. She's demeaning him with kind of redneck, the Donald kind of thing. And he's giving her credence, which he should not do. And don't give her husband, the former president, credence either. It's Billy. Okay, he's a redneck from the South. His name's Billy, and he's a pervert. Okay? Number seven, blur the line between the current failed policies and Clinton's proposals. And then redirect focus back to items of policy in your own campaign, change issue directions, and make statements that Crooked Hillary will not be prepared to respond to. A great example about that would be, you know, last time you guys served, you claimed you were broke when you left office. Now you're super rich. I don't know how that happened, Hillary, but I, for one, plan to take a pay cut. I'm going to serve as your president and not take a salary at all. See, that would be an example of literally returning to items of your own policies and blurring the line between the failed policies and what's going on today. Hey, Hillary, you guys basically cranked up ISIS under your watch. I'm going to be the law and order candidate and change that. You can do that. And then, so that's number seven. Number eight, mingle rapid fire facts into the debate that she will simply not be prepared to respond to. Okay, launch new initiatives on the spot, taking her by surprise. For example, I'm going to serve as your president without pay. I'm going to leave the money in the treasury. I'm going to lead responsible finance reform by example. See, that would absolutely rock her world. And then you'd simply say, Hillary, are you going to serve without pay as well? Or are we going to have a $400,000 a year, so at least 4 years, $1.6 million difference right there because I'm a leader and you're a failure? See? Number 10, highlight the contrast between you and Clinton using simple, memorable phrases. I claim we will make America great again. Hopeless Hillary remains an unbeliever. That's a great one. I am pro-life. She is pro-death. I will decrease taxes. She will increase them. I will stop illegal immigration. She will promote it. She will promote illegal activity. She perjured herself and so did her husband. I am your law and order candidate. I am for states' rights. She wants federal control. I stand for gun rights. She will destroy them. Back in a second. Liberty Roundtable Live.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about an article I wrote, the 22 suggestions for Donald for the next debate, Kurt. And I think they're very hard-hitting, but they're very polite and Christian in nature. Again, every attempt is not to abuse anybody, but to set the record straight when it comes to policy, when it comes to criminal activity, when it comes to principle and issues, that's what we focus on. So we're in the middle of these ideas where I say, you know what, make the following slogans and following phrases highlighting the contrast between Donald and Clinton important. And we're in the middle of those phrases, sir.
Yeah, this one we've got, I am a successful businessman, she is not. She is a government insider, I am not. I will negotiate great deals, she is not capable of doing so. I create jobs, she doesn't know how, believe me. More jobs equals less crime, she promotes
Kurt,
Obamacare.
Hold on, you have to say, yes. Believe me.
Oh, so okay. Believe me. More jobs equals less crime. She promotes Obamacare. I reject it. She pushes global warming. It's propaganda promoting more government. Trump, less regulations. Clinton, more. Number 11, hammer on and clearly make the following items pivot points. When you vote for Trump, you are voting for a constitutional rule of law, pro-life Supreme Court. Email scandal. Clinton committed perjury, then destroyed evidence against a subpoena court order. She could care less about the rule of law. By the way, both Clintons have committed perjury and are dishonest. Billy did the same thing and got impeached for it. Do we see a pattern? Fact check. Openly challenged the media's bogus fact checkers from the last debate. Examples. Sean
and by
Hannity
the way, Kurt,
confirmed,
before you go on, yes. We talked about this for almost an hour, challenging every fact check they made. And most of them, Kurt, are bogus manipulations.
Yep. Yep. For example, it says, Sean Hannity confirmed your statements regarding your position against the war. You were indeed correct about your opponent flip-flopping regarding TPP and her false claim the gold standard in trade. Do not allow the bogus press to discredit your statements regarding President Barack Obama doubling the national debt. Focus directly on the math. It is an undeniable fact. Number 12, when they want you to release your tax returns, turn this into a clarion call to abolish the IRS. Even Ronald Reagan was against it. If we shut down the IRS, we can end American slavery without regard to race for all Americans forever. You could make the point, by the way, I keep great company. Neither George Washington nor Abraham Lincoln released their tax returns. Number 13, Clinton tries to assert that maybe you haven't made money. Directly focus on the fact that she has never ran and or owned a business in her life. all her millions, and Lord knows she has millions, she has been taken slash stolen from the people's taxes. No wonder she wants to raise taxes even more.
Now, let me stop you there regarding, for a second, Kurt. So yes. If she does say, oh, I ran a business, I ran the Rose Law Firm with my buddy Webb Hubble. Say, oh, phenomenal. How'd that work out for you? Should we go to those scandals next? What about your daughter? Is it Webb Hubble's daughter, too? Well, where do we go here? You know, and just mock her like that and then move on and say, like I said, I am a successful businessman. She is not. I made my money, even with all my faults, in the private sector. And I'm a successful businessman. Look at my assets. Come stay at one of my hotels. I'd love to have you. By the way, Hillary's never made a dime outside of government in her life.
Well, yeah, except for all those dollars she gets paid by guys who want her to manipulate government in their favor.
Yeah,
right?
And we can talk about those scandals, sure.
Foundation, you know, stuff. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Number 14, regarding illegal immigration, plainly highlight that dishonest, two-faced Obama is currently secretly funding Mexico's building of a southern wall while publicly mocking the building of your northern wall. Number 15,
I'm surprised
focus.
That hasn't come up yet, though, Kurt. That's so clear. He's a racist for building a northern wall, and they're literally building one right now with our tax dollars on the southern border of Mexico. Right now?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, good point. Number 15, focus on reducing regulations and lowering taxes. Must repatriate the money held hostage overseas. Number 16, focus on the pro-life message, highlighting the fact that Trump is 100% pro-life and she is pro-death. Focus on the fact that Planned Parenthood is a racist organization. Number 17, promote God, family, and country. Protect life, liberty, and property. Number 18, highlight your pro-Second Amendment stance against her anti-gun plan for tyranny. Number 19, discuss the fact that Howard Dean should apologize to you for the Coke user tweet. You should directly confront Hillary and the media regarding Billy's many women and allegations of drug use. Number 20, point out that Clinton has accomplished nothing for the American people in the last 25 years, and based on facts and history, we should never allow her to fail for the next 4 long years. Number 21, consider using the following phrases or slogans. My goal is to get abusive government out of your life. The status quo has got to go. After all, the issue is honesty. Play the Trump card against crooked Hillary. Vote for Trump. What have you got to lose? Number 22, don't be so serious. Lighten the mood and make others laugh. Well, there you go.
Yeah. What do you think, Kurt?
That's got a lot of there, Sam.
Got any recommendations impressive. For the Donald?
Well, I mean, I might add a few. You know, I was thinking at least.
Part of my problem is it was getting too long.
Yeah, there's just so much.
And
you
the
know,
other part of my problem was I couldn't just shut down 90% of government, you know, and so. I mean, I could, but, you know, you got to be realistic in your game plan. If he just said, hey, I'm ready to get rid of 90%
okay,
of the government.
Okay, here's a book for you, Donald. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so I tried to focus on 22 that literally take on the issues that they've already discussed, literally kind of break down. Look, the fact is Hillary and Bill are criminals. They've both perjured themselves before Congress. Billy got impeached for it already. Bill's an absolute pervert. Don't let him near your wives or your children. Okay? Hillary's an absolute abuse agent. I mean, she created Bimbo Eruption, and she's the queen bimbo of them all. I mean, Queen Bee for sure. And I bring that up because, look, she doesn't expect change from her husband. She doesn't say, I'll forgive you if you repent and don't do that anymore, which I would support, by the way. She says, continue to abuse women. I'll cover for you. That's the reason that I'm willing to take on that issue. It's about principle. It's not about whether Bill made a mistake. I believe in repentance. But it's about the serial abuse that continues where they're a tag team of hostility towards everybody around them. Bill abuses a woman. than Hillary emotionally and destroys them politically and career-wise and everything else. It's bad enough to be raped physically by the evil man that Bill is. But then on the heels of that, you got a literal emotional and societal raping by Hillary, just abusing her and acting like she's a bimbo and that she's worthless and that she whatever. I mean, this is the lady that literally got a bunch of surrogates around her saying, hey, drag a $100 bill through a trailer park and see what you might find kind of thing, making fun of these women. And then Donald calls somebody a pig and wow. See, the it's crazy. And we got to understand that these criminals cannot be allowed to get in government again, Kurt. If they do, we'll have secret combinations above us that I'm afraid we will not be able to stop. Anyway, we already reported the New York Times hasn't paid taxes either. It gets worse, Kurt. All the other people criticizing Donald Trump for getting out of paying income tax. Everybody wants to get out of income tax, by the way. But what's that guy's name? Mark Cuban, Kurt? That guy's been mocking the Donald over taxes, and it turns out that he took advantage of the same loophole, just like the New York Times. Good old Marky.
Yeah.
But see, that's the problem. They
good point.
Used to control the news cycle, and they think they can just run around and say any lie they want to and get away with it. That's no longer the case, Kurt. Poor old Marky Barks called on the carpet now.
Mm-hmm.
Cuban, you're a thug. You're dishonest. Now, you could beat up Donald, and I'm not telling you that Donald's perfect, but what I'm saying is, what do we do when the New York Times does the same thing and Mark Cuban does the same thing and they're all attacking Donald over this? The real message should be, I clarion call for the abolition of the IRS. They've been abusing people, and the only people that can get out of the abuse are people who have enough money and enough creative attorneys to get them out of harm's way. I want that to be the order of the day for everyone in America. It's Tax Freedom Day starting midnight, Jan 1. Kind of an idea. When do we start?
Yeah.
By the way, we got some more Trump surrogates coming across the broadcast coming up, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
All week long on your radio. So we'll do that. Sam and Kurt will break it down. We got a lot of stories Kurt has been queuing up that we're going to get to, too. So hang tight. We got a crazy ride going. How many days till the elections, Kurt? 35 or something?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Anyway, so we got a big crazy schedule till then. And then it'll get worse, right? Or better, depending on what you're talking about. We might be going to the inauguration, Kurt. What if we inaugurate Hillary? You want to go?
Whoa.
I wonder if I could interview Bill in Bill's voice if we did that. You think, hi, Bill, this is Bill. Liberty Roundtable Live, this nation shall endure.